Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Every age has a disease that we associate with it. The 50s saw the fall of polio. The 80s saw the rise of HIV/AIDS. And if you go back far enough, public health officials were all hands on deck to defeat cholera and smallpox. The decade that we just finished, however, had its own historic pandemic, the absolute explosion of diabetes. That's according to Dan Hurley, the author of a new book, Diabetes Rising, The Epic Hunt to Cure the Most Widespread Disease in Human History. He joins us now to take us through the mercurial rise of diabetes and the global search for a cure. Dan, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
That's quite a claim, actually, and we know diabetes is exploding in this country, but the most widespread disease in human history?
Well, it has become so common that there are now kids born in the year 2000 who are now about 10 years old, 39% of girls and 33% of boys are expected to develop diabetes in their lifetime. It's really out of control.
Previous science held that type 1 or juvenile diabetes and type 2 or adult onset are completely different illnesses. And yet diagnoses of both are increasing at, you say, roughly the same astronomical rate, which seems to fly in the face of everything we knew about the illness, that basically some people were born with it or born with the certainty that they would get it, and other people's kind of overate their way to it. So what are you learning?
Well, I was really surprised. I mean, I've had type 1 diabetes, juvenile diabetes, since I was 18. This is 33 years and counting. I am a medical journalist. I thought I knew about this subject. When I started researching this book, I was really shocked to find out that type 1 is increasing just like type 2, and that it is now believed it's about twice as common as it was in the 80s, about five times as common as it was in the years after World War II, and perhaps 10 to 20 times more common than it was 100 years ago. It's exploding, and this is something where researchers have been somewhat asleep at the wheel. They've just lately been realizing what's going on, and there remains no national registry. No one is certain what kind of numbers are going on in any particular community.
Is this to say that type 1 diabetes is also behaviorally triggered more than we previously thought, or something else?
Well, we know that genes haven't changed. So something has changed in our environment, in our life, that is making type 1 diabetes much more prevalent. I mean, when I was a kid, you didn't meet kids with type 1. It was very rare. Now every school has – the nurse has to have the kids come in and give them their insulin.
Do you have a theory?
Well, there are five major hypotheses. It's a lot. One is that vitamin D levels are too low, that we're not spending enough time out in the sunshine, that our vitamin D levels are very low. You can look and see that places where there are close to the equator have much lower levels of type 1. Up in Maine, up in Michigan, in Boston, there's going to be higher levels. And Finland, for instance, has one of the highest rates in the world. So vitamin D is one. Persistent organic pollutants seems to play a role. The fact that we don't get enough exposure to ordinary bacteria and just playing out in the dirt, this hygiene hypothesis is another one. And baby formula. There's a major international trial studying whether kids exposed to cow's milk or soy milk in their first 6 months of life increases their risk.
These are all hypotheses. None are proven, to be clear.
They're not proven. There's a lot of work going on, though. There's an amazing body of science here.
Dan Hurley, our guest, author of Diabetes Rising, The Epic Hunt to Cure the Most Widespread Disease in Human History. Another myth that you attempt to shatter, the common knowledge about diabetes, that it's something you can pretty much learn to live with. Just prick your finger a few times a day, keep a handle on your blood sugar level, don't go on any Homer Simpson donut binges. But you mention in the book And you, by the way, seem to be an example of how that maybe is the case. But you mentioned in the book that you want to challenge that conception.
Well, you know, I'm someone that tries real hard to take care of myself. I've got a continuous glucose monitor. I'm always checking my sugars and adjusting my insulin level. The problem is it's like diabetes is like a baby that never stops crying. It's always at you. And nobody can keep track of this all the time. In fact, there's my little continuous monitor beeping at me, telling me that my sugar level is going a little high.
Do you need to do anything?
No, I'm good right now. It's just a little high, but that's what it's like. I mean, you can't go to sleep without this. I've had situations where I've gone to sleep and my then 9-year-old daughter woke me. I woke up with her putting marshmallow fluff in my mouth to bring me out of a severe low blood sugar. And for people with type 2, they always get this message that, you know, hey, you should just stop eating so much and exercise a little more, as if it's so easy. And in this culture that we're in, it is not easy.
Maybe being a guest in the media or multitasking increases blood sugar levels.
It might.
So your book is called The Hunt for – sorry, Diabetes Rising, The Epic Hunt to Cure the Most Widespread Disease in Human History. Are people working on a cure for diabetes?
Well, cure has many meanings. I've heard since I was a kid about a quote-unquote cure that was going to come. They were going to transplant insulin-producing cells into your pancreas, and that was going to cure it. They've gone from one thing to the next. Insulin, when it was discovered 88 years ago, it was said to be a cure. And at this point, a lot of top researchers think that a biological cure is very challenging. It's going to take a long time. And what they're looking to do is to prevent these cases from happening in the first place, or if you've got it, to find treatments that really work beyond just yammering at people and telling them to try harder.
You reference the holy grail of diabetes research, an artificial pancreas.
Yes.
Are we close to finding that grail?
I participated in a clinical trial last year involving one of these devices. This is a little electronic device. It's like an iPod size that checks what your sugar is continuously and decides, based on a computer algorithm, how much insulin you should get. It's doing the decision making, and it takes that burden off you. It was just incredible for me to go through that. To have that burden lifted momentarily. And the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation hopes to have something on the market within 4 years.
If the problem is not enough exposure to bacteria, not enough playing in the dirt, what would the cure be that solves that?
Brian, it sounds really weird, but people are studying the use of intestinal worms. Big ick, but there are.
Yeah, you know, on our program Radio Lab, somebody was talking about using parasites,
yes,
hookworms,
yes,
that help asthma.
Exact same thing. These are autoimmune diseases, and what is believed to be going on is that your autoimmune system is not getting challenged enough. And we grew up through evolution with all of these parasites in our body. I mean, everybody had intestinal worms, some good, some – most of them not very friendly. And what they're saying is that without these, your immune system is like a hyperactive kid. It wants to go on the attack, and it ends up attacking your body. So they're looking into treatments that are not harmful but might tamp down your immune system and tell it, hey, boy, chill out.
So if you had to give one piece of advice before you go to the new parents who are now terrified by the title of your book and the discussion we've just had, what would it be?
It would be to ask the government, ask the CDC, ask NIH, why is there not a diabetes registry? Why ask the FDA, why has the artificial pancreas, why is it not yet approved? And learn a lot more about what's going on. And please, I really ask people to not feel guilty and so worried. We all blame ourselves, and we hear a lot from family and friends, you should do better, you should try harder. This is an impossible to manage illness, and nobody is perfect.
Dan Hurley, I think this is a very important book. Diabetes Rising, The Epic Hunt to Cure the Most Widespread Disease in Human History. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. We will go down to New Orleans. And as I said, we hereby release all Jets fans to root for the Saints in next week's Super Bowl. Why? Well, for one, well, we'll tell you after the break. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.